In his epistle of today, St. Paul writes, "But above all these things have charity, which is the band of perfection, and let the peace of Christ exalt in your hearts." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. One of my reasons of establishing the sodality of charity in our parish for our young people here at St. Gertrude the Great was to teach them to work together for the church, because they are all members of the same mystical body of Christ. In our last meeting, the girls prepared rosaries for our upcoming Seminarian Sunday to help to support our seminarians who will be ordained in May. These seminarians will very soon hear the confessions of these children and give body and blood of Christ to them. So helping them was a great act of charity, which St. Paul calls the band of perfection. It was done together out of love to Jesus and his followers. Besides taking care of the school and sodality, I also have in the past few months been involved in training our seminarians. Just like I always tell our young people that it's not enough to have the faith. One must also act according to this faith. So also our seminarians, who will soon be priests, they must have charity and peace in their hearts and love Christ, whom they will soon offer at the altar. St. Francis de Sales, that great pastor and gentleman of whom Bishop spoke to you last week, he emphasized this love what priest must have to his Christ. And he wrote in his book of the love of God, "I speaks to I, heart to heart, and none can understand save those devout lovers who take part." Christ is a friend of the priest, and as much as he needs knowledge, wisdom, patience, and humility, most of all, St. Paul urges him today to have charity, for it is a band holding the virtues together, much as a cincture holds the folds of the alb in place. One of the famous examples how even one priest can touch hearts of a whole nation was the English priest and later cardinal John Henry Newman. He came from his mother's side from an old French Protestant family which had found refuge in England, and he grew up to be a respectable and honored Anglican clergyman. But when he was 44 years old, he left the Protestant church and converted to the Catholic faith and was ordained priest when he was 45. And with Father Newman, as it is with all those who serve God in service of religion, his own Calvary did not end, but started at his ordination. To become a Catholic, not to mention a priest, in 1800s England, that was unpatriotic. Respectable people did not do that. The children of the Newman family all had the same religious background and training, yet all condemned their brother's conversion. Newman's youngest brother, Charles, disowned his whole family. His sister, Harriet, never spoke to John Henry after his conversion. And one of the brothers of Newman even wrote a whole book against him. And sad to say, his fellow Catholics often were no better. Sometimes Newman was accused of giving too much role to the laity, sometimes being too lax in his ideas of university discipline. He loved to write, and he wrote a lot. And as a person who publishes a lot, he sometimes wrote things which irritated people. St. Pius X wrote about Newman that his mode of expression in some places did not display a special caution. But he didn't need to worry, because there was always available some helpful priest or layman who was zealous enough to call and point out these careless statements, not only to Reverend Father Newman himself, but through the letters to the editor, also to anyone who followed the contemporary events in the whole British Empire. But St. Pius X also called Father Newman most good and wise man, and so great a master. And what was it what made Newman such good and so great a priest? It was his humility and charity. Cardinal Manning, who preached Newman's funeral eulogy, said of him, "But beyond the power of all books has been the example of his humble and unworldly life, always the same, in union with God and in manifold charity to all." That is kind of priests we, the followers of Christ, need. Those who are in union with the Sacred Heart and show manifold charity to all. When people look at their priests, they don't see how smart he is, they don't see his learning, they don't even see his devotions and piety. All those things are important, even essential, in the case of a priest, but they can never take place of charity. We just don't need priests. We need good priests. Like I pointed out to you a couple of weeks ago, a follower of Christ might be a prophet. He might have faith strong enough to move mountains. He can even work miracles. But without charity, he, in the words of St. Paul, is nothing. After Newman converted, he lost his position and respect in high society, but he was loved by his flock in England, because people saw in him a man who had the courage to abandon the comfy and cozy, well-paid position of an armchair theologian in the Church of England and embrace the true faith, even if it meant become a pariah in English society and within his own family. And he did all this to serve the little flock of Christ, because he loved Christ and he loved all people. This encouraged numerous people to follow his example and convert to the true faith, because, again, in the words of Cardinal Manning, a noble and beautiful life is the most convincing and persuasive of all preaching. When Newman was made a cardinal, he chose as his motto those words of St. Francis de Sales, "Heart speaks unto heart, cor ad cor loquitur." A priest must love the Sacred Heart of Jesus and show this love to his people. Charity of a priest not only covers a multitude of whatever human frailties and faults he might have, but it also exhorts all the people to follow his example, because every single member of his flock the priest loves. Christ suffered and went to the cross for St. John, Veronica, and Simon of Cyrene, but he also went there for Pilate Caiaphas, and even Judas. Charity touches every action of a priest and turns them into true affection, both for the good and the bad, zealous and lax, old and young. I'm always struck with the force of this saying: did universal charity prevail, earth would be a heaven and hell a fable. What truly makes this world a vale of tears is not sickness, death, or wars. It is the absence of universal charity. A follower of Christ is always a man of charity, whose heart is ruled by peace. Peace is a state of calm, serenity, tranquility, and freedom from agitation. Peace means that a man is at ease with himself and others, and no matter how much the world might rage around him, as the psalm says, he shall not be moved forever. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.